Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
The church I see is so attractive, so refreshing, so inspiring that the building struggles to contain the increase. I see a church where people are so in love with Jesus, energized in his presence, committing to walking in his ways, where living for God is no longer a burden or obligation, but an opportunity to praise. I see a church where lost people are found and sick people are healed and hurting hearts are restored, restless souls awakened, where prodigals come home and families are strengthened. I see a church radically committed to taking the message of hope beyond these walls, the Savior once given for all who call upon his name. I see a church that leads the way with radical generosity, blessed for the least of these, shapers of history, full of people who believe it's better to give than receive. Try, but you won't succeed to outgive God. It's an impossibility. His heart breaks for the least of these. The church I see, everyone brings their best with a focus on excellence, where honor is given and passion is shared, a kingdom on fire in power and prayer. The church I see, it never stops going, it never stops growing, relentless on mission, a passion and vision, where Jesus is famous, the restless awaken, the wayward are rescued, the hopeless are saved, and one purpose it drives us, a hope for the hopeless, his kingdom unfolding, his favor upon us. She's compassionate and faithful, enduring and great. She's bold and unshaken, full of power and strength, this hope of the world, because the hope he's in us, redeeming and faithful. His spirit surrounds us, never content, always inspires for the cause of Christ, for the sake of others. She never backs down. She always lifts higher the hands of the broken, the downcast, and the tired. She speaks for the voiceless. She stands for the weak. She carries the hopeless and strengthens the least, remembering the past, but always looking forward, empowering generations to carry the torch and engaging the masses to fill the call that Jesus has given. No matter the cost, she's unified, significant, moving, committed. They're visionaries, innovators, anointed and gifted. She's humble, compassionate, authentic, contagious. She's timeless, magnificent, youthful, and ageless, faith-filled, powerful, together as one. Jesus, you be exalted. Your will be done. No weapon formed against her will prosper. Not even hell with the devil can possibly stop her. The church I see is just getting started, blessed beyond measure, called to endure till heaven is upon us, life is restored, till the fullness of the promise of one. The church I see, the best is yet to come. Jesus, right now in this moment, we bow our heads and we close our eyes. All across the house, we close our eyes, God, before you. And we thank you. We thank you that you are a good God. We thank you, God, that we are living in a miracle. We thank you, God, for what you've done really these last 9 months as we prepared for this day. And God, as we prophetically spoke just a moment ago, God, I pray that we would be that church, that we'd be a church filled with people who love you, a church that's not built on the personality of one, on some man, but a church that's built on you, Jesus, because you are the chief cornerstone. You are the capstone. This is your house. And so we celebrate and we worship and we get a little crazy and we cheer and we thank you, God, for what you've done, but we also remember that we are called to be your church, that we're called to show others who you are. So Jesus, I pray in the rest of this service, Lord, I pray that you would continue to meet with us, that every single person underneath the sound of my voice, not just in this room, but listening and watching online, I pray, God, that we would meet with you. And God, I've got a word that you've put on my heart from your holy word. And I just pray, Lord, that it would sink in deep. I pray, God, that even the hardest of hearts here among us, God, that you would soften that heart right now. God, that you would penetrate those walls that we build up to try to keep you out. It's that defense mechanism. I pray, God, that you would start to do some demo work in our souls right now, demolishing down those strongholds that we set up against you. God, that we would be open to receive your word. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we celebrate, not really a grand opening, we celebrate you, a good, faithful Father who cares for your children, you care for us. And so we have been and will continue to be a church that points people to you. We thank you for what you're doing in this house, in this place, in this people. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Y'all a little rowdy today. I like it. We're having some fun here in God's house. And we're truly excited that you're here for our grand opening. And I want you to know that this is not just about a building. This is about you. We're readying this building for you. And so we're so glad that you're here with us today. And this is really special because this is the first time we've ever done this in the history of Christ's Covenant. But I'm going to look into a camera back here and welcome our church online audience watching on Facebook and on our website. Hello, y'all. Glad you're tuning in. Hey, and not just that, I want to say hola, mi amigos, to those in the room that are listening to our Spanish translation live right now. Come on. When you see people walking around with the earpiece in, it's not because they're security, okay? Like, it's because they're listening to, we got an app that we got set up, and they're listening live. Somebody's in a back room, and they're translating live. And somebody told me recently, you're going to have to stop talking so fast so they've got time to translate. And I'll work on that next week, and so we'll get to that. But it's an incredible day. Before I jump into the message and before we get to all the fun activities we have after service, we got face painting for your kids, we got the food trucks, and by the way, if you're wondering, like, we're not paying for your food at the food trucks, okay? That's on you, and just so you know, and we got bounce houses for the kids, and it's just going to be a great day. Before we get to all of that, I want to thank some people, because this day didn't happen by accident. How many of y'all know we didn't just wake up this morning, hey, let's grand open today? No, this has been a lot of work, a lot of prayer, a lot of fasting, and so I want to thank some people. And first of all, I want to thank the Lord God Almighty. Going back to many, many months ago, when we first shared the vision, it was back in March. For me, this started in January, but I shared it publicly for the first time in March to their church family. And ever since then, we've said one thing, that if today happens, and we're living in that, that if today happens, the only one who will get the glory is God, because it would take a miracle, and friend, we're living in that miracle. So all of our guests today, you're like, well, I don't know what it used to look like, and I don't know really what's happened, but I kind of like this. Well, we're glad that you're liking this, because we worked hard to prepare for today. So thank you, Lord, for what you did. To you alone belongs all the glory and all the honor. But we also know this, if you read your Bible, and I've read it many different times, God uses people to do his work. In fact, I'll say it to you this way, God works in people who will work. And so we've been working. So I want to thank some people. And in fact, the first person I want to thank, and she's here in the room. She's not on the front just yet. But I want to thank my wife, Isabel Weems. I call her Minovia. I know where she's at, but I won't point her out because then everybody will turn and look at her because she's pretty. But I just want to say, Isabel, I'm so thankful for everything that you've done for me personally. My biggest fan, encourager. And not just this, many of you don't know this, but it's been a lot of extra hours these last 9 months. We've got two kids, and you shouldered that load. I just want you to know that I love you. I thank you. I don't want to do this with anybody else but you. You're stuck with me whether you like it or not. And hopefully you like it a little bit, but I love you so much. I want to also thank my elders and my staff. We're a church revitalization, so we don't have a lot of manpower as far as paid staff. And So each of us, we wear a lot of different hats. So thank you so much to my elders and my staff. I shared this with you back in January, February, and you didn't punch me in the face because I was crazy. Like, you just believed God with me. And it was challenging and it stretched us. But thank you for all the hours that you put in for believing in God with me. I want to also thank every person who helped launch these new ministries. Like I'm talking about Spanish Translation and Church Online. It's been a huge movement. Not just that, but we've renovated our entire first floor, 14,000 square feet. And so many people that use your business, you use your giftings, your resources, and you poured them into God's house. I won't start listing names because that's on purpose, because I'm going to forget somebody and then somebody's going to be mad at me, okay? So I just want to say thank you to every single one who helped with planning, construction, install, cleanup, install again, cleanup again, install again, cleanup again, set up, tear down, and some of those we did many, many, many different times. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Literally hundreds of man hours were put in. Thank you. And last but certainly not least, I want to thank every single person here today that you financially invested into what's happening today and moving forward and beyond. I want to thank you. So many people, I've heard your story. You had saved money for something else, and we cast vision on this, and you instead sowed it into God's kingdom. Like, thank you. I didn't have to pull you towards on this. I didn't have to twist your arm. You just listened to God, and you did what God said. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Can we give it up just one more time for everybody? Kind of cool. Well, I got a message to preach. And so if you got a copy of God's word with you, why don't you open up to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And we're going to read a few verses together. Some of you use the YouVersion Bible app, which is really great because we got like notes on there and all that kind of stuff is awesome. So you can use that. Or if you're old school and you're opening up to Luke, that will work as well. And if you don't have a Bible, there'll be a giant Bible on the screen behind me. But Luke chapter 15, and I'm going to get right into it. I'm going to begin starting in verse 1. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, these are the religious people, they said this, they muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and he eats with them." They weren't happy about it. And then Jesus told them this parable, which is another way to say story. So Jesus sees their horrible attitude, their improper demeanor towards people who are far from God, and he tells them a story. Verse 4, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, what does he do? He joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and they throw a party and they say, 'Hey, rejoice with us. I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Verse 8, second story here. "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and she loses one. Does she light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and she calls her neighbors and they do the same thing. They celebrate, 'I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one." Somebody say one. One sinner who repents. For the next few moments, I'm going to preach my heart, and if you're half as excited to receive it as I am to preach it, we're going to have some good time together. But let's pray one more time before we jump in. Lord, we love you so much, and thank you for the word that you've given me from your holy word. I pray that you'd help me to speak with power. I pray, God, your anointing would be heavy upon me, and that they wouldn't be here just to listen to a man, but they would be here to listen to you, God, that you would speak through me. God, that you'd work because of me and in spite of me, Lord. And may every single person, God, somebody that's here every week or a brand new guest, may every single person here underneath the sound of my voice be impacted by your holy word. May we all leave this place different than how we came in. Lord, we love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we reflect on these two short stories from Jesus, and I'm not going to preach for a while, but I do have some stuff to say, I want you to focus on this one simple thought. And if you're taking notes, you can write this down. There's not a slide for this. But you can't lose something unless you originally possessed it. What do you think about that? A real simple thought, not profound. Oh, it is. We do have a slide for it. There you go. You can't lose something unless you originally possessed it. Think on that with me. Now, maybe you can relate to this, maybe you can't, but I am horrible when it comes to losing things. Like, I lose things all the time. Do I have any friends in the house today? You would admit with me, okay, I'm not alone. Thank the Lord. And put your hand down. Like, I lose things all the time. Like all the time. Cell phone, lost it. Keys, lost them several times. One time, do you know, after looking for hours for my keys, I found them in the trash can. How did they end up in the trash can? I don't know. Don't ask me. But that's where they were. I mean, everything, cell phone, wallet, keys, lost them time and time again. I'm embarrassed of this one, but it's true. I've lost glasses and sunglasses only to find them on my body, okay? Like, this has happened many different times in my world. I'm too young for this, I know, but that's just the reality. It is what it is. And so here's what I know. The search intensifies with the value of what you're looking for. Like, if you lose a sticky note with nothing on it, you're not really getting down on your hands and knees searching to find it in one corner of your home or your apartment. The search intensifies if the thing that you've lost, it has great value. And not just that, I'm sure you'll agree with me on this, but when you lose something of value, have you noticed that you do not take inventory of the found things in your life? You focus on the lost thing. Like, when I lose my wallet, I'm not like, thank God I still have my keys, right? Like we don't do that. I'm a positive person, but I'm not that positive, okay? Like we have two kids I mentioned earlier, and God forbid we lose one of our children in a Walmart one day. We're not going to walk out, my wife and me, and say, well, thankfully we have one of our kids still. You know, like 50% is not bad, right? Like, no, we're going to make sure that our son or our daughter that we still have, like, that they're taken care of. But we're running in to go after the lost child. We don't take inventory of the found things. We focus on the lost thing if it has great value. And friend, this is how it works with God. Whether you heard this before or not, I know we're in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, but it's true. Jesus loves you and he loves me. And not just that, even if you are far away from him, even if you are lost today, Jesus is pursuing you. He's pursuing you. He's running after you. He cares about you. He's thinking about you. And that's why the Bible says, and we just read it, that he'll leave the 99, that he knows they're okay, and he'll go after the one who is lost. In fact, you got to get this in your heart and in your soul today. Jesus is so passionate about making sure we know this that he intentionally, on purpose, placed three stories back to back in the Bible to highlight his heart for you and me. And we read two of them just now, the lost sheep and the lost coin. And all of these stories, they have the same point. Are you ready for it? It's simple, but this one is profound. Jesus made it crystal clear in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man, speaking of himself, came to seek and to save the lost. Like, that is the mission of God. And if you are lost today, he's got you in his crosshairs, not to destroy you, but to help you, to rescue you. This is why Jesus came. This is why Jesus died on the cross. He came to seek and to save the lost. So you want to know what this whole Jesus thing is about? And why is Christ's covenant throwing this grand opening? Like what is their values? What do they believe in? And can I tell you, it's one person and his name is Jesus. It's why we do what we do. He came to seek and to save the lost. And I love the Bible, first of all. I think the Bible's awesome. And if you don't like the Bible, you're just reading it wrong, okay? Because it's exciting, it's fun, it's funny. And I just love these two short stories because Jesus spoke right into the culture of the day. When he talked about a shepherd leaving a flock, they instantly understood what he was talking about, that he would leave the 99 and go after the one. And the reason why they knew this is because sheep had value. Like sheep nowadays to you may not have so much value, us city folk, right? But like back then, that represented money, that represented income, that represented a livelihood, a way of life. And so you better believe that shepherd would leave the 99 that were okay and go after the one that was lost. And the people knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. And I love this idea of how when the shepherd gets there, he throws the sheep on his shoulders. I almost want you to picture that right now as best as you can, because most of us, when we finally found that sheep, what would we do? We'd belittle that sheep. We would get on to it. We would scream. We start talking to that sheep like it could talk back, y'all. Like we would be mad and upset. Some of y'all talk to y'all's pets like that. They do not speak English, by the way, okay? And, oh, they understand me, Pastor. No, they don't. It's a dog. Its brain's like this big, okay? Like, just know. And so we'd be belittling that sheep and putting it down. And you know what we would do? This is what I would do. We would make that sheep follow us back. But this shepherd, even though he worked hard to find the sheep, he puts the sheep on his shoulders and he works even harder to get the sheep back. I love that picture of what God is showing us, that he's worked hard to find the one and nothing is stopping him from getting his possession back. I also love that his response is joy. Like he's excited about it. We're a church, we like to get excited. Like if you're used to going to church where you're not allowed to talk and you can't smile, this is the wrong church, okay? Like we like to have fun in church. We like to celebrate and laugh. And like we laugh at me sometimes and it's cool. I mean, we have a good time. But like he's excited. He's joyful. Like he's texting his friends. Hey, I found my sheep. I found Spot. I don't know if he named him, but its name is Spot. And this illustration, like I found him, like taking selfies with his sheep. I mean, this is awesome. What is happening here? He's celebrating that he has found that which was lost. And in the second story, again, Jesus speaks right into their world and he talks about a woman. And by the way, this isn't in my notes, it's just good food for thought. This was a culture back in the day that belittled women and children. And I'm thankful that Jesus used a woman to highlight in one of his stories. It says a lot about the God that we serve, that women, like you hear me today, like you've got power on the inside of you. God's got a purpose and a plan on your life. You are not a second-class citizen to God. Can somebody give me an amen today? And Jesus talks about this woman, and she's got 10 coins. And if you do research on it, it was the Greek drachma, which represented one day's pay. So she's got 10 coins, and she's lost one of them. And scholars, they debate kind of what these coins represent. Some scholars say that this was her savings account, which would not be much. She would pretty much be paycheck to paycheck, which fast forward thousands of years later, that's 70% plus of Americans today. And so she didn't have much, and some scholars think that was her savings. Other scholars believe, and this is interesting to me, that it was actually a part of a headdress that women would wear back in these Middle Eastern times throughout the Bible. That they would wear a headdress that actually had 10 silver coins hanging off of it, and it was almost like a dowry system. And so as a woman wore that before she was married, it represented her value and her worth. But no matter the situation, this coin had a lot of value to this woman, so much that she swept her dirt floors. They didn't have hardwood back then, okay? Like swept her dirt floors trying to find it. You may not know this about Middle Eastern homes back in Bible times, but many of them didn't even have windows. And so this was a hard task for her to find one small silver coin. But she looked everywhere until she found it. What's the similarity between the stories? Both people, the shepherd and the woman, they kept looking, they kept searching until they found that which was lost. So let's make this personal today. I've got a saying that I stole from somebody years ago. We say it all the time around here, that if the Sunday doesn't change the Monday, the Sunday didn't count, okay? So let's make this practical. Let's make this personal, because maybe you can't relate to sheep and maybe you got more than 10 days pay, right, in your savings account. Like, let's make this practical. Here's what I know. There are people underneath the sound of my voice today that you are lost. Like you're lost. And of course, I'm not talking about physically lost. You are spiritually lost. Isn't it interesting, friend, that you can be in the right place at the right time. I mean, you're in God's house. Jesus' name has been lifted up, yet you feel so far from God. Like, you would think this would be the place where you would feel close, but it feels like there's miles and miles apart from you and the Lord. And here's another interesting thing about it. No one has to tell you you're lost. You just know it. Like, no pastor has to stand on a platform and put his finger in your face and let you know. Like, you just know. There's a disconnect. There's a chasm between me and God. You feel it. You sense it. You know it. And so the question of the day becomes, please hear me, friend. The question you've got to be asking if you are spiritually lost is, how do I become found? Like, how do I get right with God? Like, what does that look like? I'm not sure about this whole church thing, and somebody just told me they were going to buy my lunch, and so that's why I'm here. Like, I don't know, like, what's going to happen. You're scaring me a little bit. Why are you screaming? Are you mad? No, I'm not mad. I'm Pentecostal, okay? Just, I know one setting, and it's loud, all right? Like, I've never heard such thing as a whisper, okay? I just doesn't work in my world. And so, like, you're wondering, like, what's this whole thing about? Like, what does this look like if I feel that lostness all on the inside of me? And here's what I've come to know, that many people that feel lost when it comes to spiritualness in their life, they try to clean themselves up first before they get to God. And maybe you felt that pressure today, not from a person, not from God himself, but the pressure you put on yourself. Maybe you've thought different thoughts throughout this service, like, ah, man, if they only knew what I did last night, if they only knew the mess ups and the mistakes in my world, if they only knew the skeletons that I got in my closet. I got to tell you, I meet so many people as a pastor, and I share my faith with them. I share what I do for a living. And by the way, I can shut down a party real quick when I let people know that I'm a pastor. So sometimes I don't tell them right away. Just being honest, okay? I work in sales. I sell Jesus. I don't know. Like, I just do something. And so like I hear this all the time. Well, pastor, how could God love me because of what I've done? Like, how could God ever accept me? Do you know how many mistakes and how many doubts I face? And what happens, friend, please hear me, is we come into this false sense of belief that one day I'll clean myself up, and one day hopefully I'll figure it out, and then God will accept me, and then God will love me. And friend, I love you too much to not tell you the truth. That is a lie. Jesus loves you just as you are. Just as you are. Wait, pastor, I've got some big doubts. Like, I'm not even sure if Jesus is real. This could be a story that's been made up and just been hanging around for centuries. Are you sure Jesus loves me? Yes, he loves you. Pastor, you don't know what my life looks like. I'm on my fourth marriage now, and all my kids, they're estranged. They don't really care about me. We don't have a relationship, and I'm broken, and I'm hurting. You telling me God loves me? Absolutely, I am. Jesus loves you just as you are. Just as you are. Doubts, mistakes, and all, Jesus is searching for you right now. It's why these stories are in the Bible. It's not about a coin. It's not about a sheep. You are so much more valuable to God than that. It is symbolism of a person that would leave the 99, leave the 9, and go after the one. You're valuable to Jesus, and he won't stop until he finds you. And when you surrender your life to Jesus, then he'll take care of your sin. You don't get cleaned up before God. God takes care of that after you come to him. That's how it works. You surrender your life to Jesus, and he takes care of your sin and your mess and your mistakes. He cleans you up. And friend, it's a beautiful thing. He's done it in my life, and he's done it in many people's lives here in this room. But it all starts, what's my starting point? It all starts with you surrendering your life to Jesus. Can I put it to you this way? Some of you just need to come home to the Lord. Like, you just need to come home. There's a reason why in the front of your worship guide, there's a reason why on the front, like, just our signage and every, I mean, all across our building, there's a sign in our hallway. There's a reason why you'll see this on our website, welcome home. Because some of you, you just need to come home to the Lord. You've been doing your own thing for long enough. It's time to get serious about this Jesus. And here at this church, we don't push religion, we push relationship. Religion is not just a dirty word to you, it's a dirty word to me, unfortunately, as well. Because a lot of men, a lot of women throughout history, they've touted religion for you to serve a man and you to do this thing and do that thing, and then God will love you, and that is wrong. Jesus is about a relationship with you, not a religious institution, okay? Get that loud and clear. That's what we believe here at Christ Covenant. I want to close with this true story today, and I believe God's going to use it to touch your heart. No, he's used it to touch mine. It's true again, and it's about a 15-year-old girl named Christina. And if you phase me out on everything else, just listen to this last story. But Christina, she had a big blow up with her mom. And they were arguing, they were fighting, they were going back and forth. And some of you that got teenagers, you're like, yep, that's my story. And this is what was happening. But this one was a little bit different because things escalated quickly. And in this specific moment, Christina and her mom, they were going back and forth so much that Christina got to the point, 15 years of age, saying, you know what, mom, I'm done. I'm done. I can't live underneath your rules anymore. I can't handle how you treat, like, I just can't do this anymore. And Christina, at 15, friend, she left. She began to live on the streets, thinking foolishly in her mind that 15-year-old girl could figure it out. Well, Christina learned very quickly what you already know to be true, that the world is difficult. The world can be cruel at times. And you can only sleep on somebody's couch for so long. Friends only support you financially for so long. And eventually, what friends she had, what money, the little bit that she had, it was gone. And unfortunately, and again, this is all true, Christina found herself in prostitution. 15 years old. Those of you that have a teenager, I know that hits home. 15 years old. Should have been at home. Sat on the streets. Prostituting herself just to survive. And through this whole process, Christina's mom, she wasn't giving up on her. In fact, I love this because she got a little crazy. Some of y'all remember this, but years and years ago, you could go to a local pharmacy like a CVS and they would have a photo booth there. And you would sit in front of that photo booth and you can get any kind of picture taken that you want. You get a headshot, whatever it was, and you can make copies of that. And so that's what Christina's mom did. She went to a local pharmacy. She took a picture of the mom of herself, her face, and she made copy after copy after copy after copy. She's got a stack this big on the back of every single one of them. Christina's mom wrote a note, a handwritten personal note. And here's where it gets really crazy. Christina's mom, she went to all the places that she knew Christina would be. She went to the club. She went to the hotels. She went to the restaurant. She went to the grocery store. And she put her picture up all over town. Now, teenagers in the house today, you can imagine what she's feeling walking everywhere. Isn't that your mom? No, no, no. It's not my mom. Like everywhere, her crazy mom, pictures of her. Why? Because she wanted to remind her daughter that she hadn't forgot. She loved her. Christina, for a long time, she just kind of brushed by the pictures. She'd pretend they weren't there and just walk on by, just doing her own thing, living her own life. Until one night, friend, she was just in utter misery. Just done, can't do this. It's not what I hoped and dreamed it would be. And so here's what Christina does. She grabs one of those pictures of her mom and she tears it off the wall. And unbeknownst to her, she sees that her mom had written something on the back. And right there in the middle of the street, Christina, she reads this message from her mom, and it's real simple. But here's what it said. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you've become. I just want you home. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you've become. I just want you home. And friend, you need to know today that this is what God is saying to you. Well, I got to clean myself up, or I got to fix this, and then, no. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you become. God just wants you home with him. And here's what God's been doing this all past week, this whole past month, is God's been putting up his picture all over your life so you could see him at work. God's been using different experiences and different relationships and different conversations that got you here today. No, Pastor, it was just a sign I saw on the road, or it was just a post on Facebook or Instagram, or it was just a friend that invited me. No. This was God putting up his picture so you would see it, so he could get your attention, because he just wants you home. He wants you home. Got to ask you a question today. Why are you settling for so much less than what God has for you? Why are you trying to clean yourself up when God can clean you up way better than you ever could on your own? Just come on home. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you've become. I just want you home. It's got to be too good to be true, Pastor. It can't really work that way. Yes, it does. Jesus has paid the penalty for my sin and your sin. Nails did not keep him on the cross. It was his love for you. It's the truth. It's the good news. It really happened. Jesus loves you and he cares for you. I moved my family to Houston 21 months ago knowing nobody, because I needed to tell some people in Houston that Jesus loves you. He loves you. He cares for you. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He'll leave the 99 to come after you. But you got to surrender. You got to surrender. I want you to close your eyes with me all across the house. No one moving, please. If you're watching online, I want you to close your eyes if you're able to as well. Lord, I pray right now in this holy moment, no one distracting, no one moving, no one making noise. Lord, I pray right now in this holy moment that in the same way, Holy Spirit, you've been stirring their heart all service long, that right now they would feel the sweet conviction that you bring. God, a lot of times we associate church and condemnation together, but that cannot be farther from the truth. Our condemnation, that guilt, God, that comes from us, that comes from others, that comes from the enemy, it does not come from you. What you do, Holy Spirit, is you offer your sweet conviction to us. And the big difference is when we're convicted of our sin, it draws us closer to you. Guilt pushes us away from you, but conviction pulls us close to you. And that's what you're doing right now. It's almost like you're pulling at their heartstrings physically. That's what it feels like right now, Holy Spirit. And so I just pray right now for every single person underneath the sound of my voice, anybody that's far from you, I pray today they would make a decision to come on home, to surrender their life to you. Well, Pastor, what does that look like? I really don't know. I want to know all the answers, friend. That's not faith. This is where you start, that you would surrender your life to Jesus, that you put your faith and your trust in him and him alone, that you would stop trying to be a good person and just trying to fix things on your own. You will never be good enough. But instead, you would lean into Jesus today. You would give him your past, you would give him your present, and you would give him your future. I'm not trying to scare anybody today, but I want you to know the sober reality that right now the decision is with you, and we're talking about heaven and hell. Like literally heaven and hell are in the balance right now. Jesus has chosen you, but will you choose him back? Jesus has already sacrificed on the cross, but will you choose to accept his sacrifice? Jesus has extended his hands to you, but will you embrace him? It's the beautiful thing of humanity that Jesus has given us free will. No one's going to force you to surrender your life to Jesus right now. You can let fear, or you can let worry, or you can let doubt stop you. No one's going to scold you. Like, Jesus has given you free will to make a decision today, not an emotional decision tied to a story, but a real life decision. Will you put your trust and your faith in Jesus? Will you surrender your life to him? Eyes closed all across the house. Please, no one looking but me. If you're here today and You just know you're lost. You know you're far from the Lord. Again, no preacher's got to tell you. You just know. If that's you here today, I want you to picture Jesus sliding across that offer of salvation to you, because that's what he's doing. You have an opportunity right now to get your life right with God, not because of you, but because of Jesus. So with eyes closed, heads bowed, if that's you, it'd be the honor of my life to lead you in a prayer of surrender to God, a prayer of commitment to Jesus. We don't make you stand. We don't usher you off to another room. Right where you're seated, I can lead you in that prayer. Another great thing about this is you won't be the only person to raise your voice in a moment from now. Like, you're going to have people all around you raising their voice. Why do you do that, Pastor? It's to let you know you are not alone. So if you're here today and you're lost, you're spiritually lost, you're far from the Lord, but you want to commit your life to him for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time, would you raise your hand? Come on, all across this house. Keep it up for a moment. Hands all over, hands all over. No one's looking, no one's looking. Hands all over. Jesus sees you. Jesus knows you. Jesus loves you. Respond online as well. God sees you. God knows you. God loves you. Come on, keep it up for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for the many hands that are lifted right now. Thank you for the many people that are about to surrender their life to you. Thank you for how you're moving. Thank you that it's not about just a building opening up, a newly renovated campus. No, it's so much more than that. This is about people coming home to know you. I want you to keep those eyes closed, but put your hand down. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And what I mean by that is I'm going to say some things and you're going to repeat some things. It's not a magical prayer. It's not a fancy prayer. It's a prayer where you simply put your trust and your belief in Jesus and what he did on the cross. It's a prayer of commitment to him. It's a prayer where you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. That's it. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you'll confess out loud and believe in your heart, you will be saved. That's why Jesus came. So the many people that raised your hand a moment ago with eyes still closed, and all the Christ followers as support, say this after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. Jesus, I believe. Come on, say that again. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And so I ask you to forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I give you my past, I give you my present, and I give you my future. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Come on, your loudest praise. Let's thank the Lord for what he's done.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.